Yeah, hello, Gristlers. Good to have you back for another week here on The Gristle. Even though it's the lovely Easter holiday time that we've all been waiting for, if you're going to Blues Fest, you're obviously not there. It's a shame, isn't it? But here on The Gristle, you can listen to us and find out what's been going on in the world of politics and just the world generally. Of course, we're going to be talking about Mr. Potato Head getting his new company submarine. Women, women, women everywhere in the new cabinet, all sorts of things. The krauts are going a bit sour on AstraZeneca. Gosh, it's all happening here on The Gristle. You stay tuned. We'll be back with you in just a minute. Yes, Crystal, it's good to have you back for another week. It's wonderful to be here. I'm Starvin Marvin, of course, in the studio. It's great, warm lettuce. How did you make it in all this way?
Well, I just flew down from Byron Bay. It's great to be with you guys.
Yeah, lovely, isn't it? Someone else up in the north there on the Dog and Bone, we've got the Talking Knee. Talking Knee, good to have you in with us.
Always a pleasure, Starvin Marvin.
Thank you, thank you. And we've got a new virgin here on The Gristle, Laurie Jokes. Laurie, nice to have you on with us.
G'day, Marv.
Yeah. Now, it's been a lovely week here on the Gristle and also around the countryside, around Australia. We've got a whole new-looking cabinet. Talking Knee, do you want to talk us through this whole new-looking mob? They look a bit similar to the ones we had before, but they've just got different portfolios.
Oh, look, you know, you could say it's shuffling the deck chairs, Marvin, but, you know, let's not go too far. We've got... Colonel Reynolds has been shifted out of the defence portfolio and moved into government services. The embattled Christian Porter is out from Attorney General and has been moved into industry, science and technology. Peter Dutton, Mr. Potato Head himself, has been given his long-cherished portfolio of defence. We've moved Michaela Cash from whatever she was doing prior to Attorney General. Karen Andrews is in at Home Affairs. And then we've got a few more portfolios that we've given out. So Anne Russon suddenly takes on the portfolio of women's safety. Jane Hume takes on women's economic safety. Two very different things, obviously. And Melissa Price is back. You know, the very chatty Melissa Price has been up to cabinet in the portfolio of defence industry. So not a lot going on. I think it's still 27% female cabinet. Nothing really has changed that much. But look, it gives the appearance that stuff could be changed, you know, that stuff might have changed.
Yeah. Now, warm letters, Mr. Potato Head, Peter Dutton, he's been dying to get this defence portfolio. You know, does he have other little batons in his rucksack, do you think?
Oh, probably, going back to his time as a police officer, you know. But I think he's just happy to have some new guns. But I noticed that, you know, there's got to be something in this that women's economic security. I mean, like, what they've done is just chuck women's in front of a bunch of roles and then given it to women as if saying, well, the woman's not good enough to do treasurer or, you know, Minister for Finance, but they can be for women's economic situation or whatever it is. And that just strikes me
it's a bit clever, isn't it?
Well, no, it's saying women only know how to do women's business, and that's actually a bit backwards. But, I mean, really, the bigger thing is they haven't got rid of any of the bad eggs in there, you know. And maybe I shouldn't be surprised that, you know, it's not other big institutions like the Catholic Church have got very good at shuffling bad eggs around, and maybe they're just taking a leaf out of that book.
Well, I'll just play a little clip of Maurice Payne, who is the women's Prime Minister for Women, or I don't know, here she is.
Doing in recent years, since the first of those in 2018, we have had a strong focus on economic security, on women's safety and on leadership. This puts that focus at the heart of government and around every single cabinet table discussion whenever the cabinet meets and across the broader ministry.
Yeah, it's a very focused Maurice Payne there, Laurie Jokes. Are you excited by Maurice Payne?
I am excited by Maurice Payne, and I'm equally excited that us four blokes can get around and speak about the new and give our opinion
absolutely
on the four new roles. She has been dubbed the Prime Minister for Women, so I suppose that means that her workload's only going to be that of 50%, and I guess takes 50% off the extreme workload that Mr. Morrison is taking.
He can have another trip to Hawaii.
That's exactly right.
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah, and of course, the bloodletting continues. Kinky staffers doing all sorts of nasty things. There's even a guy from a Labor Party staffer, Warm Lettuce. It's just horrible to think of that from South Australia. He's been nicked for something.
Look. I think if anybody thinks that this was just restricted to one party, he's kidding themselves. Northern Territory Senator comes to mind from the Labor Party, who did really horrible things back in the day. You talk to any staffer that's worked in the Labor Party federally, and they'll tell you that exactly the same sort of culture. So I think this is going to be like the citizenship saga,
it's a bit reminiscent of that, isn't it?
Isn't it? They start a big fight, and then it's going to blow up. And look, maybe that's a good thing. But there's certainly a few Labor MPs that I think will be worried about their own pasts. Not naming anyone.
Talking knee, what about the balance in the House? And are we a bit worried that ScoMo might have to rush to a quick election or something?
Well, you know, the Prime Minister, I think, is a bit of a gamer of these situations. It doesn't strike me that he's in a rush to, have a crack. Now, that being said, the Labor Party did have their national conference today, where I think the big push is that we're all going to get electric cars under a Labor government, which is, really taking the temperature of the room perfectly. You know, when we're talking about all of this, as long as I'll be able
to... It's a bit of a shock announcement, was it?
Oh, very
powerful
good.
Announcement.
Look, I'm excited to drive my Prius as, more of these grubby staffers continue to backbite each other and, do awful sexual deeds to one another. It's exciting that, more of the same, but I get a shiny new electric car while they do it.
Mm. And, of course, the infection continues in even the New South Wales Parliament with Nationals MLA Michael Johnson resigning this week. This puts the government in New South Wales into a minority. Is that a bit of a worry, Warm Lettuce?
Oh, well, I'd be more worried if I was Gladys about losing the seat at the by-election. Margin's only 2.6%. And let's have a think about what this guy did. He's sitting in Parliament. It's a discussion about how the drought is affecting his electorate. His communities are going without water. They're having to truck it in. And instead of listening to these stories about what's happening, he's sexting a prostitute.
Allegedly. That's, this is all allegedly.
Well, I mean, yes, okay, good point. Let's not get defamed. But my understanding is that the police do have videos and texts from the woman involved to that effect. We'll see how that goes. And we should let the process run its course. But I
suppose question time can get a bit boring, can't it?
But it wasn't question time.
Your mind wanders, doesn't
it? Starvin Marvin, though, it is interesting that, we see the moral leadership here from John Barilaro kicking this guy out of the party. When, if this was in the federal house, would we see the same sort of decisiveness occur?
Yeah, old John Brumby's Barilaro. If you're a koala bear or a National Party member that's gone a bit astray, you're in a lot of trouble here, I think. Yeah, that's what's going on there. Now, we might move overseas for a little bit, or we might just go for a quick break here. I've got something here which I think you might enjoy. We were chatting to one of the good members of Parliament for North Queensland, and he decided to give us a bit of a plug.
S-E-R.
S-E-R.
Sydney Educational.
I'm Bob Catter, the member for Kennedy, and I'm speaking on 2SER.
2SER.
That's all right. Our competitors are going to be thrilled you said that.
Yeah. Don't tell me they're SER. Please don't tell me they're SER. S-E-R.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm Bob Catter, member for Kennedy, and I'm speaking to radio station broadcasting as 2SER.
Probably say I'm difficult. I probably talk too much. I overanalyze and overthink things. Yes, it's a nasty crush. I'm usually only waiting for you to stop talking so that I can.
Yes, welcome back, Gristlers, and it's good to hear our Bob Catter still there and supporting community radio like 2SER, as he does everywhere in his electorate up there in most of Northern Australia every day of the week. Now, going overseas, the Krauts have gone a bit sour on AstraZeneca. We hear that no longer can you get your AstraZeneca jab if you're in Bonn, Berlin, or Bavaria. You have to go for a Pfizer or something else. I don't know what they've got else there. I was wondering what you thought there, Lori Jokes. It's normally Angela Merkel that is making sure that everyone toes the EU line, yet it's the EU that has said that there's nothing wrong with the AstraZeneca
vaccine. I can't help but think that this is just German allegiance to Pfizer to try to wade out through the AstraZeneca. I was going to say virus then, but it is, of course, the antidote to a virus, the vaccine.
The antivirus.
The antivirus.
Yeah, well, does she walk the walk or do the talk? I don't know. You'd think the Merck would be running the EU line on this like she normally does. What do you think, Warm Lettuce? Is what's she up to here?
I think this isn't the first time they've taken a knee-jerk reaction. They panicked way too much over these blood clots recently, and then it turned out that was nothing. But all of this just means that across the world, people look at this, hundreds of thousands of people won't get vaccinated, which means people are dying because of it. And I just think that the level of risk averseness is insane, and I think her decision will cost lives, and I think she'll have to live with that.
And in the highest town in Australia,
it's not very funny. Normally, this is a funny show.
But it's not quite funny. Up in the high parts of the Great Dividing Range in Armidale, Talking Knee, do you think there's going to be a lot of people that are going to be anti this vaccine?
I mean, you know, there will always be people who are going to be risk averse. There are always going to be people who think, you know, that these vaccines, there's something wrong with them. But you have to remember, like, the strenuous testing that these have been put through, and also that we're seeing in certain parts of the world a fourth wave begin to develop. And the sooner that people start to get vaccinated, the sooner that hopefully areas in Europe in particular will have more of a control over this kind of never-ending story. You know, it's easy to forget that this sort of thing is going on here in Australia when the only real damage that we've seen recently is that nobody gets to go to Blues Fest.
I'm glad you segued across to Blues Fest.
Somebody had to.
But, you know, it's just been something that I guess people have been travelling there. And, of course, people came down from Queensland a little bit earlier and visited a few hot spots of Byron Bay. And we now see some community transmission there. But there's been a little bit of a squabble going on between the federal government and the states. And let me just put to you what the Queensland Health Minister said after hearing what David Littleproud, and I think Dan Team was also on the airwaves, talking about what should happen with the vaccines and why, whose fault it was that they weren't getting out there. So let me just play you the Queensland response.
I want to specifically address the particularly offensive remarks made by David Littleproud on the Today show this morning. He said that if the federal government needs to do better, then they should get an uppercut. Well, it's time he should give himself an uppercut. The states are doing what they can with what has been distributed to them.
Well, talking knee, time for an uppercut.
I mean, not my favourite punch, personally. But, look, it's really interesting to watch over the past year, federal government's really traded off of a lot of success, but, like, at the same... that has been mostly the work of the states, you know. The federal government's in charge of... is meant to be in charge of quarantine under the Constitution, and yet who's running all the hotel quarantine systems? It's the states, you know. The federal government... is kind of now doing the same thing. They're kind of passing the buck along, and we're seeing that what was initially meant to be 6 million vaccinations by May, it's now, well, you know, maybe by October, 6 million of the first class people will all be vaccinated. And, well, it's not our fault. It's the state. It's their problem. They haven't set it up. So, you know, you kind of, they're trying to have it where all the success lies at the feet of the federal government, all the failures, now it's the state's problem. That's their fault. Blame them.
Yeah. And has there been any failure in the states, do you think, Laurie?
I think the border politics is something that, well, it gives new meaning to the idea of state of origin, doesn't it? Which Christmas has come early, as far as I'm concerned, a little bit of sting, especially now in the northern rivers of New South Wales, state of origin being Queensland and now Blues Fest being cancelled, which, well, I didn't get to go this year, but... I can't imagine this won't be anything. We won't even be talking about this in a week or two, as it will get nipped in the bud. There's not a lot of anti-vaxxer types in Byron Bay or the northern rivers. So this will all be swept under the rug in just a couple of weeks, and we can all be hunky-dory once again.
Do you think it's a bit of schadenfreude, warm lettuce, about the problems northern Queensland are having at the moment?
Nah.
All right. Nah. Okay. Well, George Christensen, if we move a bit further north, who let's face it, far north Queensland really, really would like to be a separate state. He is being told that everyone in Queensland must carry a mask when they leave their home, and he says, "We're in far north Queensland. Nothing going on here. Why should we have to wear a mask? Should he?" Warm letters.
Oh, look. I think he should resign. That would be my view. But, I mean, look, you know, we can't say now that we're surprised that George Christensen has controversial views, you know. Like, that's like saying you're surprised that water is wet, and he's been controversial the whole time and he got a huge swing towards him. So I suspect he knows exactly what he's doing and his message will play very well there. But I think this is why attacking Christensen's not the right move. You got to criticise Scott Morrison for not pulling him in, because really, I mean... he's putting rubbish out there, and if the leader's not pulling him in, that's because he's more interested in holding that seat than protecting the health of Australians. And that's pretty scummy for scummo.
Well, being from the effing Q, I can't help but think he's trying to be the new catter amongst the pigeons, if you will.
Well, I'm just a bit disappointed that George has decided this is the way to get his profile up. Look, what do you think is going to happen in the next week? Are we going to see all of the footy matches down in Sydney? Is everything coming down from Queensland that's good, and keeping everything in Queensland that's bad? Is that the way things are going to pan out? What do you think, Laurie?
Like I said, it should be nipped in the bud pretty quickly. The best thing coming out of Queensland is, of course, the planes to Sydney. So as long as football can stay on the field and we can keep people in the crowds, ideally no Queenslanders would be fantastic here in the great state of New South Wales, and we can look after our own and continue in that way going forward.
Queenslanders aren't that bad. You know, they voted Palaszczuk back in. That's
that is true,
good.
Resoundingly as well. So maybe we could learn something from our friends from the north.
Mm. Well, or even the west.
Well, I mean, they definitely got it right. Not a single Greens MP in either the lower or upper house. I mean, that's like El Dorado over there. So
there's no opposition whatsoever.
Yeah, well, that's
just
right.
What's four nationals or something? That's about it.
Yeah.
So it'll be it's just going to be railroads straight through Parliament House, isn't it? Yeah, they can do whatever they want. And, you know, build their walls, what they normally do over in West Australia. I don't know. Now, look, we might just take a short break. We'll be back with you very soon. You're listening to The Gristle here on 2SER 107.3.
This is Bobby Womack. No money in my pocket.
God help us! We're gonna have a soul time here this evening, children. Look out! Out on the will trouble last? Won't somebody tell me when the hard times pass? I'm me and my baby. We've been feeling better. Look at here, wishing for something we ain't never had. Y'all know what I'm talking about. My last suit's gone. Tell them what you had to go and hock it. Somebody tell me why mine's come so late. I'm me and my baby. Lord knows we're tired. We're tired of walking. We're tired of running. Lord, tell them true. It's back on the market. Tell them why. Cause it couldn't bring no money. What? Bring it in my pocket. Oh, money. I'm talking about so green. Y'all know.
And we're back here on the Gristle 2CR 107.3. Good to have you back. Now, we might move overseas at the moment. There's a major incident happening in the US at the moment. Joe Biden's dog, he does bear a bit of resemblance to a certain German leader's dog, Blondie, I think, gone in the old days. But he's even actually a bit more aggressive, apparently. He's been biting people. There's another incident. Requires medical attention. People taken to hospital because of Joe Biden's dog. I mean, is this just another shaggy dog story, warm letters?
Oh, look, I think if anyone's taken to hospital, they can feel grateful that they've got Obamacare. So, you know, like, things aren't so bad. But I don't know. I mean, maybe the dog just doesn't want to be there. You know, it's being told off for sitting on the presidential couch. You know, like, it's probably not a fun place for a dog to be, the White House.
Yeah, and it's funny how the White House seems to be peopled by a lot of dogs. And seem to be in the media. This seems to be a big. I remember, was it Bill Clinton's dog? It was a little dog or something, was it? And then there was the two dogs that the Obamas had. And you know, talking knee. Do you need a dog to be a US president?
Well, there was that argument that was going around social media that Trump was the first president in so long who hadn't had a dog. You know, everyone, you know, Nixon had checkers and blah, blah, blah. You know, like that dogs were a kind of a mainstay of this idea of what an American president should be.
Well, he had Rudy Giuliani.
Oh, well, hey now. Oh, wow. That little bit more cognitive thought goes into being the president's lawyer.
Not much, but a little, just a touch.
But look, this dog is like a rescue dog, and as someone who also owns a rescue dog, it's scared by all these people with guns and suits constantly going around. Why do we need to cover every time, like, a dog sneezes or barks or, you know, even nips at some poor, you know, Secret Service agent. Surely, you know, this is hardly the most pressing thing coming out of America at the moment, is this poor scared dog being surrounded by large men in suits?
Well, you know, I don't know. Maybe Major could be inducted into one of the Secret Services and be part of protection for the president. Laurie jokes, that'd sort of make way for free up a bit of funds for some of the programs that Joe Biden is putting out there, which apparently is going to affect the interest rates around the world now because he's going to be borrowing so much money. I just heard that today, actually.
Maybe he could make the dog a senator. I think Caligula made his horse a senator in the ancient Roman Empire.
So, Quince, okay. President.
So we could see the same thing. I mean, you'd have to question whether that would be superior to some of the senators that are in there at the moment.
President Quincy Adams had an alligator in the bathtub. Used to invite wild animals.
There you go. Yeah.
Was that John Quincy Adams?
Yeah.
Is that a double entendre?
Which maybe was he originally a senator from Florida or something, was he?
That would make a lot of sense. Yeah. He had cows and horses.
Alligator. No, it'd be a caiman if it's Florida. See, he should put a crocodile from the NT in there and it'd be a totally different story. Do we have time on foreign affairs to go into the Labor conference?
Certainly. The Labor online conference. We should have dialed in.
Yeah, we should have.
Why couldn't we do that? Come on, Warmly, let's give us a bit of a rundown.
Well, I think most of it was probably pretty forgettable, but I think that was by design. But one of the bigger things that came out of it was, of course, this big condemnation of the Chinese Communist Party's treatment of the Uyghurs and also in Hong Kong and the Tibetans and all the rest. And I think it was the first time the Labor Party's passed resolutions that contain tougher language in this space. So it's a big departure from the days of San Dastyari, basically almost committing treason by tipping off Chinese agents. And I think that deserves calling out.
The great period of the 50s, the Communist Party was the Labor part of the Labour Party.
Yeah, that's right.
Things have changed. That's so good. Yeah, all right. Well, we might just have a round table of the last comments before we go. We've got to get going. The time is running short here on the Gristle, 2SER 107.3, but it's been great being with you. So thank you very much, Laurie Jokes. What's your final comments for this week? What do you think might be coming up next?
In the great state of New South Wales,
anywhere.
A couple more cases.
Well, yeah, okay. And up there in the highlands there, the highlands of New England, Talking Knee, what do you reckon was the highlights of this week?
Highlights of this
week. Or the lowlights.
The lowlights of this week. Look, I think the reshuffle from the cabinet is very, very interesting because it's a whole lot of nothing. It's just, what was interesting was news poll came out, and over the last 2 weeks, it looks like Scott Morrison has seen the largest dip in female support since news poll started recording. So, like, it went from something like 60% down to something like 40%. So, very specific from me. But
that's a big bowl of baba ganoush.
Look, you know, it's not small beer, you know. But what is interesting that the men are sticking with the Prime Minister. So let's see.
Those that are left, anyway, those that aren't under a cloud. Warm Lettuce, what do you think is going to come up next week? Who's going to go next week?
Who's going to go next week? Well, I think the most exciting thing coming up is the by-election in Upper Hunter. And I think I'm going to call it now.
Yeah.
I think Labor's actually going to improve their margin, which is...
That's not a win, though.
Well, look, but given that every other incumbent has had huge swings towards them, anything from a draw up would be pretty big indictment, actually. So we'll see.
All right, that's all you get on the Gristle this week. Thank you very much for being with us here on 2SER 107.3. I'm Starvin Marvin, and do stay tuned for Across the Park.